Hello and welcome to the award-winning Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the inner tubes, and from our other hit podcast, Skeptically Yours. You can find links to our guests' website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium ad-free 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog, Hit and Miss... Also, Obscura, what was this?
Obscura.com, Obscura,
something
Comedy the, Obscura.
Comedy Obscura. Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Help us get up there in the top 10 where we've never been, you jerks. You may also go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium ad-free content for a measly $10 per year.
Subscribe now or I'll bend your iPhone with my mind.
You can't do that.
Why can't I?
Do I really need to answer that question?
Yes.
We've done this bit 100 times. You're not going to trick me again.
Subscribe now if you want me to keep tricking Emery.
God damn it.
Fine. Don't subscribe then.
No. Keep tricking me. Keep tricking me.
Thought so.
You're bending my mind.
Precisely. We only have 2 rules on the show. Rule number 1, guests may plug anything they want. We're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number 2, if your listeners ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content, and certainly has nothing for you, Uri Geller. We're coming to you live from E&H Studios in sunny Studio City, California. In the Studio City tonight, we have Eddie Medrano, Micah Cover, and Chad Allen. You know these prestidigitards from Showbiz. Press the digital.
Wow.
Did you like that?
Nice. I couldn't breathe. That was a marathon. I think I lost weight watching you guys. That was amazing.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you. This is awesome.
Very smooth.
Is
that thank you for having me.
That was amazing.
Is that an original Prestidigitards? I've never seen
I've never heard that.
It's pretty great. I can't wait to call Penn and Teller Prestidigitards.
Oh, nice. I'm sure they'll love
and
it.
And never work again.
Wow.
Well, welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you.
It's nice to have 3 magicians, one of whom is actually blind.
Dude, I'm right here.
Shut up. I'm talking to the blind guy.
Oh, he meant literally.
Right. Oh, okay. Yes, I am a blind magician.
That's awesome. It's so fucking amazing to me.
Yeah.
It's fun. Yeah. You know, I love magic, and it's always been a joy to... You know, imagine and create and be an artist, and I love it.
I'm so worried about asking all the standard bullshit questions in this scenario, but there's some things I have to ask you.
Let's get through it.
Did you when you decided it was time to pursue this career, were you scared shitless, or were you just like most performers? Fuck that, I can do this.
Honestly, I fell into it totally by accident. I was not a magician as a child. I started magic as a job security type of a thing.
What?
Yes.
What is that?
That was your fallback?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
I was working at a costume shop, and they had a magic counter, but no magician. And I was like, if you guys keep me on through Christmas, do you mind if I learn some of this stuff and sell it for you? And they were like, yeah, do it. So I started at 21, and my first... magic trick was a prayer vase, and so I like took it home and tore it apart and just, you know, tried to come up with something. And
what's a prayer vase?
What a perfect forum to talk about a prayer vase.
I know.
Tell us more about
you got the little
I can't
genie
think
in the
of a
bottle.
Better use for a prayer vase than to deceive people.
Yes.
It's what they're made for. It's what they're made for, folks.
So, I took it home. I came up with something and then eventually brought it back to the store. I only knew one trick, so I showed it off all week, sold out, had to learn something else. Eventually started meeting some pros that came into the shop, and I was hooked. I was addicted, and that was 20 years ago.
Wow.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow, you last time we had these two guys on Micah and Funny Eddie.
What's your name, guy? I fucked.
We had a.
Wow. Wait, what's wrong with this pack?
Look at your shirt.
I tried. You fell asleep.
you fell asleep.
Wow. But
she's working her way through the magic world. She'll get
true.
To you eventually. Take a card.
Pick a card. So last time you guys were on the show, we had a tap dancer on.
Yes.
With you.
Oh yeah, an accomplished tap.
And
yeah.
Now we have another tap dancer on.
Yes, we do.
Oh, are Jack? You?
I tap dance as well.
No. You do not.
Yeah, I do.
Shut up.
Awesome. Yeah, that was my main job when
That's
I was a
kid.
That's
what that cane is for. I totally. Thought I had something to. Okay.
Well, do you do everything? What are you, a stargazer as well? I mean, fuck me, man. Do you not understand the limitations?
Never did. Never
Good
did.
Good for you.
He's like, I'm also a surgeon.
Right, exactly right. Right.
My
no,
favorite
another blind guy that does that.
My favorite disability is blindness. It's the only one you can really stare at. You
That's
know?
Right.
Wow.
That's the one.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't feel like such a jerk now.
Yeah.
Wow. I constantly pick on him. This is great.
Well, if you're going to get in entertainment and you have a disability, get ready, motherfucker.
Be blind.
Comics and performers just don't have a fucking filter. And I wish the rest of the world didn't either, but maybe I don't. Maybe then we wouldn't be entertainers.
Mm. I'll tell you, if there's a time to be blind, it's now. With technology and the way things are in the world, it's pretty amazing.
You do everything. You're on Facebook. You do all.
Yeah, you know why? You know how, right?
Know how?
He's on an iPhone.
Yes.
Seriously,
so that's your
no.
secret.
He has
best adaptive
app.
Technology device on earth.
That's yeah. awesome.
He actually Ironic. Has two, one for each eye.
Yes.
Jeez.
Yes. I really do want to because I use an iPhone so much that I need like one in the kitchen
right.
and one in, I you know.
Well, the iPad, you know. Do you have
but
the
I'm
iPad?
A magician, so I can't afford to.
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah, that's a drag.
Do you use all Mac products, or do you have a laptop too, or do you use your iPhone?
I used to just use PC products because, you know, they had pretty much the only option for accessibility.
For a long time, yeah.
Yeah, but once, what was it, Tiger, or
yeah.
I think they started introducing VoiceOver in a big way. And now, even with the most recent iOS upgrade, oh my God.
Really?
The stuff that I can do is just amazing.
That's yeah.
Awesome. Great.
Yeah, the computer would talk to you and would let you talk to it for particular functions all the way back to OS 8.
Yeah.
But Siri wasn't functional.
Yeah, Siri is one application, but I mean now, just recently, do you guys know who Ray Kurzweil is?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Genius scientist.
He's you don't know Kurzweil?
I don't. No, I
don't. Okay.
Get close to the mic, Eddie.
He's been working with the National Federation of the Blind for like 30-some years,
uh-huh.
and he's been working on a reading machine since the 70s. And when he started the product, it was about the size of two washing machines.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Now it's in my iPhone.
Oh, my God.
I can take a picture of pretty much any printed page.
And you could still do laundry.
It'll read it back to you.
Totally.
I missed that joke for a minute. In fact, I didn't even hear it, but I know what you said. I pieced it together. You said laundry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, very funny.
Eddie.com.
Is this thing on?
So, I have not seen you perform yet.
Okay.
Neither is he.
Yeah. No. It's going to be an hour and a half of this.
Why don't you you have videos on YouTube of yourself?
Yeah. Certainly.
We should bring some up.
Okay.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'll find one and then I'll share it with you.
Cool. Right,
cool.
Nice. Yeah, burlesque has really been a godsend as far as...
A what send?
Yeah, I got to stop saying that.
Woo.
Forget where I am.
No, say Lily von Stuck.
I am an atheist, but... Yeah, the... I started in Denver, Colorado at Lanny's Clock Tower Cabaret, and it was just awesome to be able to go in and you know, be some variety entertainment. I mean, you can only see tassels and G-strings so many times, right?
No,
and
no you can't.
Well, you need a break. You need a break.
No,
you need,
no.
You need a readjustment.
I woke up with glitter in my ass, all right?
The herpes of the burlesque world.
Yes, it is. Yes. The herpes.
Chad, if you had your favorite video that we could share, what one would it be? What trick?
Yeah, do you have one you prefer?
The billiard balls is probably my mainstay.
Okay.
But, you know, yeah, the tap dancing... I kind of do like a tap dancing blues magician thing going on.
But you're white.
Yeah, what the hell? He doesn't know this.
What?
Oh my what? God. You would have the blues too
he
if you were doing burlesque.
That's such a great joke. That's who is that? Whoa, be quiet, you. We're not ready to show you. That's a blind guy walking on stage.
Ta-da.
Ouch.
So this is a 9-minute piece. I can't play a 9-minute
piece.
We'll
play
piece.
Some
the
of
show,
it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I don't know. This is the I'd Chad Allen Magic Blind Magician Fantastic Billiard Ball Manipulation with Stan, Kate, and Edith. That's the one I just found.
It's nice. It's mostly silent. So, there's not a lot of dialogue.
I see. Cool.
Right. It's visual. And that's kind of the funny thing too, right? It's, I mean, it's a, I mean, doing a visual art as a blind guy, like, how do you figure that out?
Yeah, right.
And you know, since I've been here and connected with the Magic Castle, I've met, you know, really a lot of great people that have supported a lot of what I do. So, like, you know, there's a Chavez School of Magic, which I've done, and
oh yeah, there it is. I can see it.
Yeah, so that's
fantastic. Just to explain what we're doing as you speak.
Yes,
we're actually watching you perform with billiard balls. It's absolutely stunning.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's completely. Jesus, how many can you get in your ass?
This is, you know, depends on the night.
Depends on what I've had to eat that day.
Yes.
Wait, that's God. Benoit ball.
Damn your regulation.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, you know, Dale Sawack was my instructor in the Chavez School, and he would just visually describe, like, put your hands, you know, up here and then hold the ball in this position. And we went through it step by step.
So
by
to figure out these tricks, you have a sighted person who's helping you make sure you've got the
positioning.
Yeah, yes, everything down.
Angles and the whole thing. So, yeah, it's magic is a very tactile experience from the magician's point of view.
Right.
So I don't need to see it to do it. I just need to be lined up correctly.
Right.
Wow. So there's tips and tricks that I do, like, you know, I have a stage floor that I bring so that, you know, I have an angle that identifies where I am. So if I know if I'm off or not, and that helps a lot. You know, some tricks don't necessarily require as much angle
perfect
specificity
angle. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As that's the billiards, amazing. You know, so that you have a little bit more freedom.
Yeah. If you're really good, you'd get the audience all in a semicircle behind you, too.
There you go. But
Penn and Teller are going to do that. They're going to vanish the endangered spotted pygmy elephant.
Oh, my God.
In the round?
Wow.
That means
they're going to, yeah, they're going to, yeah, they're going to semicircle audience members on stage behind the elephant.
Wow. And, the endangered.
Endangered spotted pygmy elephant.
Won't that piss off the liberals or what?
Yeah, you know, fuck the liberals is what I think Penn and Teller are thinking and saying.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Fuck PETA, fuck them all.
Yeah.
Anytime you're on stage,
I don't
want to
give away any.
Teller,
I don't want to give away
you're
any.
In danger.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't want to give away any secrets, but they actually have to get a new spotted pygmy elephant for every show.
Wow.
So the breeding program
is
fucking immense.
Because what happens is they. I'm not supposed to tell.
Now you can't talk about this.
Okay. It goes down.
Actually,
they've
decided they're going to transform it into a chicken.
Did you guys
into
go to the
chicken.
Tempest?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
The Tempest, yes, absolutely. Saw it in Vegas.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't see it.
Experienced it, I guess.
Yeah. Did you go?
I did. I went with one of our Houdini historians at the Magic Castle, Patrick Culleton.
Right.
You know, we drove down and
Patrick did.
Yes. Fortunately, we sat, you know, closer to the back so that he could kind of give me a little bit of visual description of some of the things that I missed out. But I got to say, I mean, a lot of it I could just absorb through the dialogue and the music. And it was
Awesome.
The
thing that Teller said to me after the show was, were you able to follow everything or did we lose you? Because the language and the cadence and the style, the Shakespeare is not easy to comprehend sometimes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no question. Within 5 to 10 minutes, I was there. I was now completely absorbing what was going on. On rare occasion, I would have to try to figure out what a couple of sentences meant.
Yes.
But only on rare occasion.
Yes.
And I told him that. And that's what he's going for. He's absolutely trying to make Shakespeare accessible to everybody.
Yeah. Well, the actors were so great, too.
Yeah.
The guy from Palabolas who did the monster.
Yeah.
Caliban.
Like, the guys.
The whole idea of hearing that, like, dual voice happening as he spoke, just, I mean, it was chills.
Right.
It had that real sensation of a monster, you know, without visually needing to see it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Teller's a genius.
Oh, no doubt.
All right. We're going to be right back after this. We're going to do a... Oh, hey, I got a film. Stop. Just stop it. Okay, that was... That's funny. I left his show on over there. All right. We're going to take a break now, ladies and gentlemen. We will be right back after this break. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes store. More after this unavoidable interruption.
Say
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. That's... get out of my face. Go to gumroad.com/Emery Emery. That's G-U-M as in mangina. Did I say that
what?
One before? ROAD.com/Emery Emery and buy the damn thing.
Who doesn't go to the emergency room after losing a thumb?
Who?
A magician.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now, back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Eddie Medrano, Micah Cover,
hello,
and Chad Allen. Thanks again for being here, guys.
You got thank your names you right.
Yes, finally.
I can say your name right.
Like last time I
it
was
it takes
Shaniqua
me one show. Yeah, I can.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't know what happened.
I don't know what the hell happened.
See.
Yeah.
See?
I have the, is your hair okay, Eddie? What happened to you?
I don't know.
I just look over and Eddie is completely...
This is an awesome podcast.
Now, we know that Eddie's a non-believer. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Get in the mic.
And, yeah,
Eddie.
I don't know why.
See.
Yeah. Micah, I don't know. I don't remember. I think you're a non-believer. Is that right or not?
You know, I don't know.
You're one of those fence fags.
You're iffy.
I remember
what?
Now.
I'm a what?
Fence fag?
Wow. Oh, an FF for
yeah,
sure.
You're a
yeah,
double
that's
F.
What that's
you're
the,
an
the
F squared.
F. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess
let's
so.
Talk about this thing that you call
this thing.
Belief.
This thing that I call belief.
Yeah.
That's
catchy. Isn't that a Chris Angel
yeah.
show?
Oh, it could be.
I think every Chris Angel thing is this thing. God damn that guy. He's awful. Fucking awful. I'd rather be gang raped by bikers than to see his show.
You know, have been gang raped by bikers.
I meant again.
Oh.
All right.
The one thing I hate about this show, you got to let go. I mean, you got to let us know how you feel,
yeah,
man. I just have no idea.
Yeah.
Tell us.
I want to know what you believe. Remind me, because I've gone and forgotten. I think you're spiritual, but I don't remember.
I would call myself an agnostic.
Agnostic?
Yeah.
You're not comfortable with saying that you've reached this most probable conclusion. You prefer to say,
there's really no way we can tell for sure.
And, you know, I say it
you have to define agnostic.
Right. I say it exactly in that voice,
do you?
Too. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I don't know.
Yes. When people ask me what I believe, it is very important to sound like a Muppet. Because otherwise, no one will understand. No one will believe me.
There's no information available
exactly,
on this
exactly,
one.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
There's more than one side to this. Who
yes.
could decide?
Yes.
Kyle Delaney on the wall says F2 on A2 with E2 and H2.
Wow, that's a lot
that
of
is
acronyms.
Great.
You're an F2 on A2 with
on
E2
A squared. E2 and H2.
Wow. Yep. That's awesome.
So agnostic has always amazed me.
Thanks.
No, I mean that in a disrespectful way. What
I know
mean
you
is,
do. I know you do.
Tread lightly.
I am going to ask you to define it.
Wait, who are you talking? You were talking to me. Said, right? Which one were you? Okay. Yeah. Wow, he's got this mystique.
Well,
about
when you
him.
Look at him, what, and he's got headphones on, he can't. He has not. Yeah. All of the directional voice thing is fucked right now. So you got to say, Chad, were you talking to me?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm
in a bubble in a unfamiliar territory right here.
It is weird, right? Because we're all in his headphones, so there's no directional quality to what's going on.
That's
no.
true.
So there's no glancing at Chad and thinking he's going to know you're talking to him.
Oh, yeah. No. I have a little bit of light perception. So, like, you know,
I was going to ask about
there's
that.
There's a couple lights back there and maybe something up here. But other than that, I
hate to fuck up your reality. We're sitting in pitch black.
Okay.
What? We did it for you. Whoa. We
we're naked.
Oh, my God. All right. Now it's a party.
When are we going to the show where there are people under the table servicing us?
When we have room under the fucking table.
Yeah, there's no room. We have to move, wow. move
right,
this
wait
table.
A minute. I got
to
get my cane. Hold on.
Wow.
So.
I'm sorry. I'm just so coked out of my mind. You guys are just blowing my mind. My mind, man. I am freaking out, guys.
Define it for me. Come on. Tell me what an agnostic is. What agnostic are you? Describe it.
Oh, I can't define it. I can just tell you how I feel.
I know. I mean, for you.
That's the thing. I don't know what to believe. I try to keep an open mind, and I try to listen to everybody. That's the best way I can think of to define it. Something nice from Chad. Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
So you try to keep an open mind.
Yeah.
How open? I mean...
Does your brain fall out?
Yeah, you don't want to keep your mind open wide enough for the brain to fall out.
Yeah, right. Wow, I need to be more figurative.
What do you say when someone sneezes?
Oh, you know what? I say Gesundheit. I'm not even sure what the...
Nice, so you hate Jews.
I do,
nice.
I do.
That's really nice.
I do.
What a dick.
But you know what?
For an agnostic, I've never really known such a dickish agnostic as an anti-Semitic agnostic.
Well, Emery, I feel like we're on a date. There's just so much hostility here. It's just such familiar territory for me. Thank you for welcoming me.
I do the same thing, by the way. I say Gesundheit.
I
say Cthulhu.
Oh, that's cute.
I might say that from now on.
Yeah. Lovecraft is on the arm of the chair right behind you.
Yeah.
And when someone sneezes, I say, fuck you, bitch.
Nice.
I don't know
nice.
Who said it, but somebody once goes, when someone sneezes, I go, you got something right here. Check your, you got it.
Oh,
so,
I
don't
guys.
Say fuck you,
so
bitch.
Classic.
So you've said you're so an classic. Agnostic.
Yeah,
Right, I'm being silly when I start picking on the agnostic thing. I really am. When someone tells me that they're agnostic, I want them to help me understand where they are in the discussion of the probability of a grand creator. In other words, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what I need when I talk to someone who calls themselves agnostic, because it's such a gray thing, agnostic. It sounds like a deflection. Like,
thanks.
I don't want to talk about
well,
it.
Well, not everybody. Yeah. I mean, the definition of agnostic, the proper definition is, let me see if I can get this right now. Someone who feels that there's no way you can prove or disprove that there is a God. So
should we see what Siri says?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should find out.
Let's find out what Siri says.
Yeah, talk to that.
He saw me looking at my phone.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. He does this all the time. I don't think he's blind.
All right. Yeah, talk to that laundry
machine. Hold on. Here we go.
Yes.
He's unlocking the phone.
Yeah, gotcha.
Try again.
No, you try again.
Try again.
Oh, wait a minute.
And the screen's black.
Oh, yeah.
Seven unread messages. Wow. Oh, yeah. Cool. Yeah. You don't need a light.
All right. What's the definition of agnostic?
Lift it up. Higher.
Let me check on that.
There you go. Okay, so she's checking.
From four definitions of agnostic, the first one is someone who is doubtful or noncommittal about something.
That's the one I always feel.
Doubtful or uncommittal.
We heard it. I'm sorry.
You're actually heckling the blind guy?
Eddie, you're
wow.
so mean,
okay.
Man. Wow.
So what's do you have the other three there?
Oh,
doubtful or uncommittal.
From four definitions of equivalent interpretation.
Wow, he's fast forwarding.
Yeah, I love it.
Vertical line death resolve. Heading. One vertical line, non-vertical line, someone who is doubtful or non-committal about some results from health.
It's going to take me a second. Do you guys want to
Maybe the sighted people could look it up.
Okay, hold on. No, I already got it. So
I'm really loving this.
Let me turn off voiceover.
You you keep looking for it, and I want to ask you.
Yeah.
You heard noncommittal, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like you're noncommittal? Is that an accurate representation?
I think
of what you think?
Because I'm not sure what to commit to. I'm still thinking about it. I think that's fair.
Okay, cool.
Do you think that there may be evidence that there's a God out there? Or are you just like, I just don't know.
Just don't know.
Yeah.
You're waiting to see.
Were you ever religious?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Very.
All right.
Very.
Yeah, I once...
I can
not
see
once.
You being very religious.
What the hell is that?
You know
wait,
why?
No,
because
that's an insult, actually.
He's
for me.
So
it's hard to let it
he's
go.
He's really sweet.
Yeah. Frickin' polite
yeah.
and sweet.
Yeah, like
and
you're
proper.
Almost a fucking Mormon.
Thank you.
You're a fucking gentleman.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
It's sickening.
Oh, it's sickening.
Thanks, Eddie.
Yeah, as you can see, Eddie doesn't, harbor those talents of yours.
Aw.
So some people say we can't know. And I don't get the idea that that's where you are. We can't know the answer to this. That's some agnostics claim that.
Yeah, I don't feel that way.
Yeah.
I think it is. I'm hoping that it's possible for us to know. I'm not sure how I feel myself.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Are you worried about the whole Pasquale's wager? The argument that if you choose agnosticism or atheism, there's a lot of cost there. You could end up in hell.
Yeah.
Whereas if you choose the other direction...
Hedging your bets.
Right.
Covering your bases, hedging
because,
your bets.
Because it's easy to trick God. A lot of people don't know that. Right. The Jews will tell you that. They get the goy to come in and turn on the light on the Sabbath. You know that thing?
It's
fantastic.
Tell me.
Yeah, yeah. Really Orthodox Jews can't even turn on a light switch.
During certain holidays.
Oh, I know what you mean.
During on Sabbath right. and
on
during
Sabbath.
Holidays.
He didn't
I live
bill?
In a very Orthodox Jewish neighborhood, Eddie, and I saw, he did, and he told me about it, people walking to shul just on our way here.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, With the curl hair?
I know what you're talking about, and I remember Bill Maher's movie.
Yeah.
Where he had an entire scene where he interviewed someone who's... Yeah, thank you.
Yes.
Religiosity. And he interviewed someone whose job it was to find those Judaic loopholes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, and it was fascinating.
Did they talk about the string around an entire city so that is the...
I don't remember. I remember you had to pull strings in order to do certain things. And it was fascinating.
And if there's anything Jews know how to do, it's pull strings. My point is...
All right, now can you say that in your best Marlon Brando voice?
I wish I could do Brando.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't do many voices.
Now, really.
Wow.
Yeah, I can do walking, and that's kind of it, really.
But that's
And then I can do
walking.
You being noncommittal about religion. Those are my two voices.
That's how I sound, either walking or mopping. Those are my two. Those are my
I don't
two
know,
go-to
really. I'm not sure I want to make a decision. If you're going to push me against the wall right now, I'm going to have to go with, I don't fucking know.
Your walk is a little off today.
Yeah, I'm not.
What's
I'm sorry.
I thought that was pretty good. So that was Emery doing an impression of walking, doing an impression of me trying to figure out what the hell I believe.
That's exactly
that
what
was
just
beautiful.
Happened. There. That's some meta shit.
That was awesome. Dude, thank you.
Thank you.
That was very cool.
I'll be here all hour.
So you're not sure about the God thing?
Not sure.
Do you think that there might be a heaven or hell or afterlife or something like that?
I'm thinking there might be an afterlife, maybe, but again, I don't know.
Do you want there to be?
That'd be nice.
My brother, my brother's a lazy Christian. He doesn't go to church. He doesn't do any of that shit.
Yeah.
He drinks his ass off.
Yeah.
His argument to me is always, don't you have any hope?
Mm.
And my reaction is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope there's no hell. And I hope there's no heaven, because heaven is fucking hell.
Oh, why is that?
Because
why in the hell would I want to go to heaven with a bunch of goddamn Christians? They're irritating.
Oh,
well,
okay.
See, listen, if you're a Christian and all you have and you do a bunch of fucked up shit your whole life and all you have to do is repent on your deathbed and get into heaven, why would anyone want to spend any time with that asshole?
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
This guy?
I kind of open it up a little more and say, you know, is there... If... It would be nice to continue existence, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if there was a way to leave the mortal coil and end up in some other place and be you know, able to experience things still, that would be cool instead of it being over.
Black and white. Yeah. You
know? All evidence available points to the only way that that can happen is if we make it so.
Cryogenics.
That's one. Yes. There's one example.
Okay.
Figuring out how to take our consciousness and move them into machinery.
Yes.
Yes.
Kurzweil comes up again there.
Oh yeah. Spiritual machine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There are options theoretically available to us. None of the really promising options appears to be the God claim.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No God claim seems to have any validity whatsoever when it comes to the...
It's pretty fantastical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this insufferable disruption.
Good news, everyone.
That's right. Very good news. We have a premium ad-free service.
Oh, no.
We already give you a free hour of entertainment, but the...
Oh, God!
...premium service will allow you to subscribe to the full 90-minute show. It's only $10 per year.
That's New Zealand.
We also have another option. That's the pay more if you want button. If you want to give us more money, we'll give away some subscriptions to the needy. So be generous. Support the show if you can afford it, you know. And please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe. Did you hear about the... Did you hear about the bestial magician?
No, I did not.
He pulled his top hat out of the bunny.
Is top hat a euphemism?
Yes.
Foundation Beyond Belief is a community of compassionate humanists and atheists supporting outstanding charities worldwide. Members sign up for automatic donations starting at $5 a month, then distribute those funds however they wish among the featured charities. To date, this unique humanist organization has raised over $750,000 to make this world a better, more humane place. We don't look to the skies for a better world. Foundation Beyond Belief is humanity at work. Learn more or join us at foundationbeyondbelief.org.
Hi, I'm David Diskin, and I wanted to tell you about Camp Quest West. We're a secular summer camp for non-religious families, and our week-long program for kids runs this summer in locations in California and over a dozen others throughout the U.S. At Camp Quest, we give kids the traditional camp experience, like archery, swimming, arts and crafts, and campfire songs, but we add science, skepticism, humanism, and critical thinking. There's a few spots left for parents who want to register their kids, but we're also asking for your help. We turn every donation into camperships for families that can't afford to send their children to camp. We're 100% volunteer-based, a tax-exempt 501c3, and our amazing financial aid program is supported by the free thought and skeptic community by people like you. I want to see how much Emery and Heather's fans can raise for Camp Quest West. Visit tinyurl.com/ardentcampquest or look for the link on their Facebook page. You can learn more about our California camps and the others throughout the U.S. by visiting campquest.org.
And now, back to Ardent Atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Eddie Medrano, Micah Kova, who respects me, and Chad Allen, who's finally got the bearings of the room down. Thanks for being here, everybody.
Thank you.
I'm doing the rest of the show like this.
Please.
Oh, no. No, you're not.
Oh, that's awesome.
Chad, what do you believe?
What do I believe? Well, I was born and raised Catholic. I was a born again for a little while. I had
a little
stint on that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, now pretty much atheist all the way, baby.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
It's been kind of a rollout for 5 or 6 years now.
Did you go through the steps like the agnostic phase or any of that?
Spiritual?
I guess, you know, there was a little bit of difficulty, you know, totally walking away from the idea of God, but the more and more, you know, you kind of walk on this atheist path. I sound like an atheist Christian or something like that.
Yeah, we're accused of that.
Yeah, you start to, the truth is hard to beat,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, reason and evidence are hard to argue against.
You know? You
was there one particular thing?
I don't agree with that.
And okay.
I'd like to
was there one particular point, the turning point that really kind of shined the light on that's not right that that let you see clear? No.
I get it.
Wait,
now.
I'll get it.
Yeah.
Give me a minute.
Yeah, okay,
I can
more,
do this.
One more.
Anyway.
When
did you start to hear the truth?
I think this whole Tea Party movement.
Oh,
and
wow.
Being hammered with this stuff constantly and seeing the religion integrated so much into our government and the damage that causes.
Now, let's be really clear. Was it that process that you were witnessing, or did that process cause you to start asking questions and looking more deeply? There's two different things there. I mean, a lot of people will accuse some atheist of, well, you're just angry because. You're angry at God. It's not that, right?
I'm not angry at all. I mean, I felt like a weight was lifted.
Right.
Once I started to kind of take this in a little bit more, it was a freeing experience more than anything.
And to reiterate, you had become a born-again Christian.
Yes, in
so
high school.
So you weren't just a Catholic, but you had been through that process. Did you leave that born-again Christian belief system and then have kind of an interim up to where you are now?
I think I just kind of left it aside and just kind of evolved away from it. It started to kind of fade out of my existence.
Some irony.
It wasn't anything aggressive or angry, or it wasn't anything I was bitter at. There was just so much hypocrisy. I couldn't logically take it in and convince myself it to be true any longer.
Right.
You know?
It seems like there are a lot of non-believers in the magic and entertainment world, specifically, though, in magic. Am I wrong, Eddie? Eddie's kind
no,
of
I think
shaking.
You're right.
No. Yeah.
There are a lot of atheists in magic. Yes. Yeah, that's true.
I'm always stunned when I've said this on the show many times. I'll say it again. I'm always stunned when I find out that there's like an uber religious magician. Those guys just fuck my head up. Yeah. It just doesn't add up.
I remember you showed us one last time we were here. It was
we pulled one up and watched
yes.
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was fascinating.
It was the one with the three balls
on the stick.
One was Jesus.
Oh, he's
and
awful.
One was,
he's yes. just awful.
No, how do you feel about him though?
Yeah, he's awful.
It was fascinating to watch you watch him.
That was
worth the price of admission.
Because one was like heaven and one was hell, and then one was you or something like that.
Yeah. But he wasn't even a good magician. That's what offended me more about that guy.
Yeah.
You know, bad performance makes me sick to my stomach, not bad philosophy.
Why are you looking at me right now?
Oh, I didn't mean to do that.
But that guy was he was not doing as much a trick as he was just telling a story with props.
He was delivering a sermon with some props.
Yeah, and it was long.
It was long. Those were two.
All sermons are.
Yeah. It wasn't the length of the sermon so much as the
Size of the balls.
The size of the balls is nice. Well done, honey.
Thank you.
But
are there a lot of Christian or religious magicians as well to go along?
There's certainly a niche market, and that guy we watched certainly found his audience.
Right.
And there is something called gospel magic where you can look it up on catalogs and you can buy tricks designed specifically for that demographic. And it's a thriving business.
Sure.
So, Chad, when you started working with other magicians and getting to know them, did you find yourself having philosophical or religious discussions with them or not at all?
Not a lot. Amazing Randy would obviously come into the castle every once in a while, and that was always a big to-do. And, I research a lot online and, you know, kind of went down that road. But I think it was more, if there was anything that really kind of gave me the juice of understanding what it is to be a skeptic, it was really The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. That was my very first podcast that I started listening to.
Yeah.
And it was just such an interesting perspective. And I was so hungry for science and critical thinking. It taught me how to relax into it. You know, it didn't have to be so edgy. You know, it just was.
Yeah.
Right, right.
And I liked that a lot because I'm always hungry for information, you know. And I think that's part of the reason that I went into born-again Christianity from Catholicism, because if you know anything about Catholicism, it's very much, you know, sit, stand, kneel. You don't really read the Bible. You know, you go to the service and you follow that kind of drone mentality, right? And as a born again, it's very active, right? You know, you're studying the Bible and you're learning all about the Bible, and
you're having visceral emotional experiences.
You're singing,
that
you're standing,
and I mean the whole healing experience and reading up and researching.
That's what
and,
you were
know,
looking for.
Well, you know, to be honest with you,
did that ever occur to you? Because when I was a born again Christian, the power.
Say that again.
When I was a born again Christian.
When was this?
You didn't know this?
No.
Oh yeah.
No. I had no idea.
You wanted
idea.
To be a preacher.
I was going to be a preacher.
You kidding me?
No. Because when I'm was this? Because I'm wired to stand in front of people in order to get laid. That is exactly.
No matter what. So your plan was to be a preacher to do.
Oh,
this.
I was. Yeah, I was going to be a preacher
to get laid.
I held. No, I'm joking. I held Bible studies. I invited the most notable figures I could get my hands on that would answer the phone. To come to our little tiny Bible studies in Prairie Village, Kansas, yep. And they would show up. Big names showed up at our house to hold hands and pray together. Yeah. One time we all, someone in the group was moved to take communion. And so we all jumped in the car, and we drove over to the grocery store, Kroger. Yeah. We drove to Kroger, and we all drove over to Kroger, and we all held hands and prayed in front of the non-alcoholic wine so that God would lead us, Jesus would show us which one was of him, and we got one off the shelf. Then we went to the bread aisle and did the same thing.
Wow.
And yeah, we all held hands and prayed, and I reached out and I grabbed King's Hawaiian bread. And boy, let me tell you something.
King's Hawaiian is the
it
way to go.
It tasted like God. It was the sweetest bread I had ever tasted.
Oh,
I was
Hawaiian
sure
awesome.
I was eating the flesh of Jesus Christ that night, and I was being filled with the Spirit. And then years later, when I was an atheist, I tried King's Hawaiian bread, and fuck me, is that good.
Right?
It's just as good. I still think it might be God's flesh.
Okay, all right.
He's Hawaiian.
Yeah.
All right, but tell him it's just sweet bread. So.
It's just really sweet. Yeah.
He had never tasted.
Dude, I got four words for you. King's Hawaiian French toast.
That sounds phenomenal.
Blow your frickin' mind, man.
I never thought that an agnostic would tell me that.
So true.
So I used to be a born again. It was about 4 years of my life, maybe three.
How long ago was this?
High school, middle of the high school period.
Mine as well.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Ninth, 10th, 11th grade. I went
very
off to
influential
camp.
Age.
Yeah.
Very impressionable, I'm guessing.
I was just looking for answers. I was looking for an understanding of the world, which was topsy-turvy, you know? I was
in
a horrible, horrible family life, and all kinds of things just were wrong.
Yeah.
We had the Flanders living down the street from us,
and bringing
my mom and us food when we were really broke,
and
so they reached out to us in that way.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, we're down there throwing our hands up and singing and speaking in tongues at the Flanders house. Their names were Payne, the Paynes. So that
House of Pain.
The House of Pains. They were wonderful people. They were absolutely wonderful, wonderful, beautiful, loving, deluded people.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
I very similar experience, you know. You go in and you have this sense of community, and my parents just got a divorce, you know, not too many years before. And it was very fulfilling to be part of that.
Right.
You know, the picnics, the card games after dinner, the late night talks, the intimacy, you know,
yeah.
in a very quote unquote healthy and refreshing way.
You're making me horny.
Yeah. There you go. And then, you know, and then it was church for hours. And
Eddie is backing up to Heather.
But my mouth is still here.
I don't think he knows how this works.
He knows.
Yeah. So you just kind of faded away from it?
Yeah, you know, I moved on. I moved from Rhode Island to Denver, and it just started to kind of fade out of my life.
Denver, that den of iniquity.
I love Denver.
Oh,
great
that's
city.
Where it all began.
Is that where you started doing the magic?
Yep. Yeah, okay. The magic shop is
you turned to the dark force.
Exactly.
Exactly. In Denver.
And I don't know if magic saved me from, you know, born again Christianity. I wouldn't go that far.
Right.
Your brain just moves on to the next experiences, you know? And I
seems
started
like
meeting
you were wired
different people.
To end up here is what it seems like to me, Chad.
Yes.
You know what I mean? I feel that too.
Jesus brought me here.
No. No, wired.
No, that was me.
Oh, right.
Your gardener brought you here?
Oh, my God. Eddie is Jesus.
Wait a minute. You rode over here in... Oh, nice hair. You rode over here. He's doing a visual gag on the podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
With a blind guy. Yeah. Well done.
With magicians.
Yeah. You rode over here in Eddie's funny car?
I love Eddie's funny car.
I don't think you've seen it.
Yeah. Oh.
He's got the got the best horn of any car in L.A.
Yeah.
Just clears a road.
I don't know why his horn doesn't bark.
Why is
that'd
that?
That'd be cool.
I do it out the window. It's loud enough.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
My favorite thing about barking at people's dogs is when the dog is convinced that you're a dog or there's a dog somewhere.
No. It's very true.
It's amazing, right?
This is even better. I'm mailing something at the corner little
mailbox?
No, well, there's
post
a mailbox.
Mailbox. Gas station?
Sounds mailbox, like mailbox. How many syllables?
No, there's a mailbox on the corner of this little park. Mm-hmm. And I'm tying my shoelace, and I hear Chad with the cane on the cement, and I look over, and I see Chad coming down.
You're saying this now, aren't you?
I know. So I'm kneeling down, so I'm dog level, and I go like this. Chad stops. He looks. He looks to the left and looks to the right, and you can see him. No, I know. But you could see him thinking. And then he starts walking again. I go, what the hell, Chad? You don't even say hi.
But your bark, after you hear it a few times, it becomes one that you can recognize. You have a certain register that you...
It depends. In the castle, it's easy. But when you're on Franklin or Hollywood Boulevard and you've got all that other noise, it gets tougher. And he smoked me good. Nice. It was, and he was at the height too. So he just.
It is kind of a win,
Eddie.
It is kind of a win to fuck with a guy who's got amazing hearing. I mean, that's a win for Eddie.
Mm.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist at ardentatheist.com and available at the iTunes Store. More after this intolerable intermission. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Travis, Bunny Boy, Thundercock.
What?
My Balls Smell. Carlos the Kiwi. First Night at Fight Club, Bring It. Lance, Welcome to the Gayborhood. Chris Otazo, Scarlet Fields, Boner Jam. Six Ball, Carl Barrett. I don't know how he wants to say
which
this.
Which is STF.
Sergeant Fuel or
no,
Saint
it's,
Fuel
it's
or
STF? Shut the fuck up, you all.
You all. Shut the fuck up,
STF,
you all.
STF, you all. There you go.
Periodilalalalay.
You're never going to say that
I'm
right.
Never going to say it right. Cameron Winters and Joe Swam. These were some of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Thanks for being there, everybody.
I don't know if we should let them make up their own names like that. It doesn't seem to be
I like them. It.
And now back to Ardent Atheist nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Eddie Medrano, Micah Cover, and Chad Allen. Thanks for being here, guys.
You got to turn their mics back up.
Oh, I didn't turn the mics on yet.
Oh, there we go.
Welcome back, everybody.
Oh, our dulcet tones.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Dulcet tones. A lot of people don't know that normally Micah, when he's not on radio, he always talks like that.
This is so true.
So,
ladies,
you're comfortable with being in a community of atheists. It doesn't bother you, Micah?
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. And again, I'm just trying to keep an open mind, and I try to listen to people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to judge. You know what
so
I mean?
So you are listening.
What's that?
You are listening.
I'm sorry?
I'm sorry.
Never gets old.
Never does.
Never gets old. Never gets old.
No,
that joke. Never gets old.
It's as good as she said. It really is.
It's almost as good as she said.
Yeah, it's right up on the shelf.
Right up there with the... that's what she said.
Yeah,
where's
I don't...
where's your ear, Eddie?
It's right here.
Are you upset that Eddie hasn't done his signature ear gag
you haven't done the
on
ear...
the show?
I wonder if
on
he
the
will.
Audio show.
I wonder if he will.
Yeah,
the suspense is killing me.
It's in the car.
You left your ear in the car.
Oh no, you and Van Gogh.
He always left his ear in the car.
Always
in the car. Always
so
in the
funny.
Car.
One of my favorite jokes in the history of jokedom. A guy that I don't talk to anymore because he's unreasonable and psychotic. James Inman did a fantastic joke that was just amazing. His joke was, and now my impression of Van Gogh's mom. Vincent! 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 He would do it five times. It was really great. Really great.
But we don't talk to him anymore.
No, I don't talk to him
anymore. Psychotic.
Every time I asked him to come on my show or do something professional with me, he would completely come unglued. He was demanding.
He made it so difficult.
He
what did he do?
Well, the last time I had him on this show, He demanded that I burn the last 30 minutes because he was... I love that Blythe is over there giggling. that I just burn it, that I bury it, that I get rid of the last 30 minutes, the premium portion of the show.
Yeah.
I had the BBC in the studio actually filming because we had a BBC star that was on the show with him talking about 9/11 and talking about a bus tour that he does with it's just kind of a skeptic show.
Yeah.
And Inman would not sign their release at the end. And I grabbed him by the shoulder and I walked him out front and I said, you're going to sign that release. You're going to sign that release the way you said you would sign that release at the beginning of the show and the way that you said you would sign that release when I fucking booked you on this show. And he's like, fine, I'll go in and sign the release. I go, you're going to go sign that release and you're going to smile. You're going to fucking do what you said you would do when I booked you on this fucking gig, you piece of shit. But he did. He went in and signed the release.
Did the walk-in impression confuse him?
Oh, it's the only way I got it signed.
Oh, good for you.
That was
so,
it.
So it has practical applications.
That's when I started using the walk-in impression.
I see. That's
I developed how you get what it you in want. That argument.
Right. That's how you get what you want.
That's exactly
nice.
Yes. Just, I want you to know there's no God. Micah, are you listening?
I'm listening.
You said you're open to...
Yeah,
okay.
I am. Yes.
I want to give you evidence that there's no God.
Tell me, Chris.
Okay. Here it is.
Okay.
There's no God.
I'm sorry, there's no what?
God.
How many syllables is that?
Saying God.
Yeah.
How many syllables is that?
Four syllables.
It's four syllables.
What kind of God would allow that many syllables to be in his fucking name?
So true.
All right.
So true, Chris.
Just shut up, agnostic man.
I've never been a superhero before. Thank you. I'm agnostic man.
He goes where people need him. He thinks. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Maybe I'll be there. I don't know. I can't commit. Don't make me commit. Yeah.
But you didn't tell the best part about how James Inman called you the next day.
Oh, he called me for days after that and weeks after that. Well, wait, what are you talking about?
I don't know.
When he told...
that was amazing!
Why is your walking so New York to me?
I don't know.
Why is that?
No, he wanted you to get to burn the last 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I did say that at the top of the story.
Yeah, but
he wanted me to get rid of it, and he was demanding that I do it because... Here's why. He had just been part of a movie that was released that you haven't heard of because it sucks. And no one's heard of it because it sucks.
Okay.
And he was worried that by arguing that there are aliens and UFOs and arguing that 9/11 was an inside job, he might embarrass the movie and affect its ability
to not sell
to not
anywhere.
Suck.
Okay, which it
but
did
it
anyway.
Sucked.
Yeah, right.
And there was no concern. And here's the irony in the whole thing. Name of the movie? The Unbookables. That's the name of the movie. It's about a bunch of ne'er-do-well jag-off comics who are so psychotic that they get drunk, do drugs, shit, and piss themselves, and piss in each other's mouths.
I can't
imagine why that movie didn't do well, but it didn't do very well.
Was that the director's cut?
Yeah, that was.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. I do believe the director is indeed cut.
Oh, how was
yes,
it?
He is. The movie was all right.
Oh, yeah, it was okay.
It was a good movie. I thought the movie had a lot of promise. I was actually involved in trying to get it off the ground.
You were on the Kickstarter campaign.
There was no
Kickstarter. Right.
I advised on the movie quite a bit, and none of my advice or anybody's advice was taken.
Wow.
And I've never liked it. I watched it. I gave notes on the first cut. They went away and made it worse. I don't know how that's possible, but they did. It's unwatchable. It should be called the unwatchable.
Grave apologist on the wall said, I'd pay to watch people piss in each other's mouths.
Wow.
There are websites for that.
I said, why would you do that when it's...
www.anywhereontheinternet.com.
Why would you do that when it's free art?
So
it's our people on our wall.
it's
our listeners.
It is a pleasure.
I thank you, Micah, for being honest
man.
About what you... aren't sure you don't know. And I have this need, this want to get you in that seat as often as possible till you finally just concede.
Agnostoman will never stand down. Not Agnostoman.
Or will he?
Or will
hey.
Don't close your mind to the possibility of standing down, Agnosta.
Stay tuned next week. Same Agnosta time, same Agnosta channel.
That's your new character on this show.
Nice,
you're always
I like
just going to be Agnosta Man.
I like it.
And you're going to have to battle me.
I'm sorry, whom?
Me.
How many syllables is that?
Seven.
Seven syllables.
I'm bigger than God.
You're bigger than, you're longer yes. than God.
I'm longer
it's
than
a
God.
Longer name
I'm,
than
my
God.
My name is more hung than God's name.
Wow.
I've never done so much walking on the show. That's
oh, it's
really
wonderful.
All right, so I love these, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, they're just great.
Oh, those are, I didn't know what that, those are your
what
mints.
What are they?
Yeah.
Those are FunnyEddie.com mints.
I am eating oh. FunnyEddie.com mints while Funny Eddie sits right there.
Oh, my God.
Mouth.
It's like a
would pe- anybody else like some
please.
FunnyEddie.com
yes.
mints?
Oh, yeah.
This is his. This, oh, sorry.
It's like the bread of God.
This is his body broken for yes. us.
Yeah. Wait, there you go. All
yeah.
Right. Did you touch this?
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Wow, thanks. Thanks.
Wait a minute. Eddie won't even eat his own mints.
That's like cannibalism.
Spit them out. Everybody spit them out. He won't eat them.
Oh, wow.
You know what? I want one now.
I've been...
We just need some King Hawaiian bread, some non-alcoholic
Eddie,
wine.
I don't know.
You know. I know what you guys are saying about the Hawaiian bread, but Portuguese sweet bread.
Is it amazing?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm originally from New England, you know.
Whereabouts?
Rhode Island.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which,
Pawtucket.
You know, I don't really don't have to say much more after Rhode
no,
Island.
No, no, no.
So
everybody knows you're a family guy.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, Warwick originally. But I lived in Newport for a while, too.
Stop it, Eddie! Eddie is trying to hand Chad the mints as he...
No!
Oh, the cane came out!
Wow.
The cane came out!
That was so daredevil. That was awesome.
That was amazing!
What you don't know is there's like open shells with glasses all around you.
Jesus. That would have been so
scary.
Great if he just demolished... All three cameras come crashing down.
Nice.
So funny. He stands, his glass crashes around him,
yeah.
Towering over Micah, yelling, "There's no God!"
Wow.
Yeah,
that would
wow. That was awesome.
I think that's what would break Agnosta Man. That would be the one thing to break Agnosta Man.
That would take
Man.
You over.
Yeah.
Over the edge.
So I have a question for I have a question
so
for Chad. Chad, I hope that was funny to the listeners because that was all visual humor.
Oh, I love it.
Eddie was leaning forward and just kept going, here, with his face. He wasn't saying anything, but with his face, he was going, here, take these.
He's so bad.
Yeah, he's a dick.
How many stories do you have? I mean, okay, tell the one when we were in the Magic Castle and you were doing the dog barking and the whole room, go.
The whole room stopped and I go, dude, your dog's getting away from you. Because he's
Dun-dun.
Blind
yep.
and he has the stick.
I get it.
Yeah. That was terrible, Chad.
That was.
I'm blaming you.
Oh, we need to turn him around
for
the camera. Turn to your right. The left. Yeah, there we go.
Okay.
Yeah, and center up in front of that. There we go. Thanks.
What's going on, camera?
I forgot we actually have a camera in here.
Oh, nice.
And people want to look at you.
We look great. Okay.
So here's a question. Do you know anything about the ability for blind people to use kind of a sonar clicking thing?
Yeah, echolocation.
Yes, echolocation. Have you ever played with that?
So when I went through I went through a training center called the Colorado Center for the Blind, and it's a rehabilitation training center for adults. It's a privately funded organization, but I got federal funding to basically get me into the program. I recommend any blind guy to take the opportunity to do it. It was 8 hours a day, 5 days a week for 6 months. So
whoa.
I just basically canceled out of life and focused on this training. And they trained you in cane mobility, braille, use of adaptive equipment, you know. And then we got into a lot of the philosophy of independence, and you know, which is also a very empowering experience. But they expose you to a lot of different things, like, you know, rock climbing, water skiing, skiing in the mountains in Colorado.
I want to be blind. This sounds awesome.
I did.
This sounds fantastic.
Here. This can be arranged.
Yes, yes. You just have to close your eyes.
Yeah.
One of the things that I hosted was a driving program.
Oh, right.
So it was a sleep shade activity, which is, you know, being blindfolded. and there was a sighted passenger, in the front seat, and then they had us, you know, basically behind the wheel, and it was at a defensive driving school, and we did skid recovery, so getting the car up to 25-30 miles an hour. They tell us to let go of the wheel.
And then what happened is, you're going to tell us when we come back from the break, ladies and gentlemen, because that's it for the free hour. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers very soon. I want to thank our guests, Eddie Medrano, Micah Cover, and Chad Allen. I also want to thank my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson, and our video switcher, Blythe Renee. Tune in next week when our guests will be...
Not liars.
Yeah, these guys are magicians. They all lie. And we'll be talking about...
Liars.
That's who we're talking about. We're talking about them. This has been the free version of episode 157, another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our digital publicist and web guru, Cameron Wintroni. And our Wall of Reason moderator, Joseph Swamdini.
I see what you did there. Eddie, where can people find you?
FunnyEddie.com.
I didn't know that. Where can people find you, Micah?
MicahTheMagician.com.
That's easy. How about you, Chad?
ChadAllenMagic.com.
It's that easy. A-L-L-E-N?
Yes.
There you go. Chad is easy to spell. Allen can be confusing. Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection.
Abracadabra.
Thanks, everybody.